play-by-play on the Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150. This is KZNE, KND HD3, and KND HD4, K274CM. Coming Station Bryan.
Sports Flash.
I'm Jay Berman. This report is brought to you by RingCentral, workforce communications made simple. Suddenly, there's some space between the Dodgers and Giants out west.
Over the head of Aoki, it rolls to the wall. Ellis comes in to score, and the Dodgers win the marathon 5-4.
All right, Adrian Gonzalez with the walk-off hit in extras last night. L.A. now leads San Fran by 4.5 games. Same two teams tonight from L.A. Terrific pitcher's duel. Bumgarner going up against Greinke. In the East, distance between the Mets and Nats.
Swung at and missed strike three. Put it in the books.
New York now leads Washington by 6.5 in the division. Mets hosting the Phillies tonight. Nats continue their series with the Cardinals in St. Louis. In the American League again, last night, a big fly from the big guy.
David taking it the other way into deep left. Young going back at the wall.
Big Poppy with career home run number 495. It was also his 47th career long ball against the New York Yankees. Football news, Robert Griffin III blames an intern for his Instagram like on a post that ripped the Redskins. Trent Richardson cut by the Raiders. Fred Jackson probably will sign with the Seahawks. Tim Jennings in Tampa visiting the Bucks. From the college game, Everett Golson has been named the Florida State starting quarterback. LSU also named their starter under center. His name is Brandon Harris. And we told you before, worthy of repeating, the Atlanta Hawks will retire Dikembe Mutombo's number 55 this season. The ceremony will be in late November. I'm Jay Burke.
We've got wall-to-wall college football coverage every Saturday afternoon. Listen to Eye on College Football on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Zinert with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by R.P. Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpleepestcontrol.com. Camp Life is now accepting applications for the weekend of October 23rd. The camp provides recreation for children ages 5 to 21 with disabilities and their siblings ages 5 to 12. For more information, contact Amy Day at 862-2913. Open tryouts for swimmers ages 5 and up with the Aggie Swim Club are being held Mondays through Thursdays at either 5:15 p.m. or 6:15 at the College Station Middle School Natatorium on Rock Prairie Road through the month of September. Today, a 40% chance of scattered showers, partly sunny and 91. Tonight, 40% chance of rain continues, mostly cloudy and 72. You're invited to grab a friend and grab your clubs and make your way out to the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course each Wednesday for the Zone Shootout. Make sure to register your two-person team by 3 p.m. each Wednesday. And for more information, visit zone1150.com.
This year, you can attend a real, live, authentic Oktoberfest celebration without traveling 5,000 miles to Munich. It's Oktoberfest in the heart of the Texas Hill Country. The 35th anniversary of Oktoberfest in Fredericksburg is Friday through Sunday, October 2nd through the 4th. Experience a colorful, festive celebration of Fredericksburg's German heritage. Four stages of oompa music, arts and crafts, street tents, and the best beer, beverages, German food, and fun on the market plot. West Main Street in the heart of downtown Fredericksburg. There'll even be a children's fun area for families. The celebration kicks off on Friday, October 2nd at 6 p.m. and continues through 6 p.m. Sunday, October 4th. Visit OktoberfestinFBG.com for a complete schedule of events. That's OktoberfestinFBG.com. Bisbald.
Walking, running, jumping, stretching, pulling, pushing. Any repetitive motion can cause wear and damage to your body. Using advanced diagnostic equipment and computerized technologies, the orthopedic sports medicine physicians and therapists at Scott & White Healthcare can treat all of your sports injuries, no matter how complex. Don't get sidelined by injuries. Pursue your passion in top form. Visit sportsmedicine.sw.org for more information.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, Think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Hargrove Insurance, Terry Ruffino, Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, and Atkinson Toyota in Bryan and Madisonville.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Your home for Houston Astros baseball. Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by The Eagle, on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome back. Second hour. Aggie Nation, powered by The Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Sessnett. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season that dreams are made of at MSCOpus.org. Lots of cool shows and cool events. Go to MSCOpus.org for all the information on tickets and all the other good stuff. You can call us, 693-1150, or you can text us at 229-1939. Someone had texted earlier that Christian Kirk, his prediction, Christian Kirk is going to have his coming out party and put him in the national conversation for SEC Player of the Year. Someone else texted saying, I agree with Nate in 808. And it's not the same person. We can see the numbers.
So 808.
He's not agreeing with himself. He goes, I agree with Nate 808, and so does Rick Neuheisel. I heard Neuheisel say the same thing about Kirk on XM Radio this morning.
Yeah, Neuheisel's been out there at practice. He's now working, I think it's for CBS. And as we all joked, when the other media leaves, he doesn't have to leave. Being a former coach, he gets to stay, and he does get to see a little bit more practice. He saw a lot of practice compared to the rest of us.
I like Rick Neuheisel. You know, he's a wild card, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's an interesting character, but
but if he says you're good, do you really want that? Considering his track record, he's ruined a lot of programs.
I do think Kirk is going to have a good freshman year, but I just think Noyle is going to have a big year. And they can't. Not everyone. I had all kinds of charts and stuff I looked up for my receiver story in the preseason. I probably know more about the statistics of A&M's receivers than anyone should.
Good.
And part of the problem, they were almost too balanced last year. There was no real, the years before, there was Swope and Evans. And then there was just Evans, who really was on a plane all by himself in the total yardage. Last year, it was a lot more balanced and in a lot of ways not very explosive. I mean, there were a few big plays, but everyone kind of had about the same yards per catch.
Almost a West Coast
Reynolds
numbers.
Was a little bit above the rest. So I almost think, and this is partially because, again, how much I like Kyle Allen, I think it's going to be really hard for any of the receivers to have enough yards that they are looked at as an all-SEC, or not necessarily an all-SEC, but this guy's saying SEC Player of the Year. I think it'll be too hard for one of them to have that much of the bulk of the yardage. I think they're too talented. Part of the story of this is, you've got 3 5-star talent guys, and none of those three are even the best receiver that we've seen so far. That's Josh Reynolds. And so I just think there's too much talent out there for any one guy to get that much recognition. I think it might be part of the problem.
Then you throw in what you talked about yesterday. When you look about how many balls the guys like Niederhofer and Pope have caught off the bench, they're going to get rotations. And Moorhead really loves Ratley, the junior college guy coming in. So that's 3 more guys getting, at some point, not necessarily starters, but they're going to get reps. And I actually look for A&M. If I was a betting man, I'd look at how many times A&M running backs ran the ball last year, and I'm going to add 5%. I think the running backs are going to run the ball more because they're going to establish Carson. So even if that's 7 more carries a game, that's 7 more passes that will be thrown somebody's way. And I agree with you. So then suddenly, with so many options, if Speedy Noel suddenly comes out red hot, or if Kirk comes out hard or Reynolds hot, you're going to put a safety over that guy, so Allen's just going to start throwing to one of the other guys. And there's not enough balls to go around, whereas when you see why is Amari Cooper so good last year, name me those other 2 or 3 Alabama receivers they were throwing to.
Right. That's the thing. You have to have a big bulk of the yardage to be a national, especially a wide receiver these days, because you have to have just tons of yardage to be in the contest for whether it's SEC Player of the Year or the Heisman or whatever, any receiver like that.
You have to have 100 catches.
Like that. You need some ungodly amount of yards. What do you think is, and obviously we don't have any of the data here to make an accurate prediction here, but let's say the game is close the whole way Saturday. What do you think the, and let's say it's a shootout, so they're reasonably effective doing both. What is A&M's ideal run-pass percentage this year to you?
I still say they throw the ball so much, it's got to be 70% up there. I mean, they just, 65, 70, they just like to throw the football, and they're not going to get away from that. And
70-30, that'd be huge.
Okay, 65-30.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm more of a 60-40 guy.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It is interesting. We talk about the run game so much this offseason, but it's not what they do. I mean, that's
not who they are.
It's a little bit like it's sort of like saying, evaluating the Clippers' chance for the NBA next season and saying that, this season's going to come down to if DeAndre Jordan can improve at the free throw line. That's not
going to happen.
It's not a thing they're worried about. Yeah, they're going to run it more.
Hopefully he does improve, though.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of the deal. It comes back to this. We've talked so much about the run schemes and what Christensen's brought in and how much that's going to be different. We're still probably only talking about 10 plays a game.
Yeah,
maybe
we're
more.
Not talking about a lot. That's exactly right.
It's kind of interesting that, and a good example, the Liberty Bowl. And now the weather was a little weird. It was cold that day. And the game was kind of an odd game. But A&M threw it 45 times, threw it 35 times, ran it 48 times in that game. So
you look at that percentage.
Yeah. And so I wonder.
So see, if I'm saying if they're going to get 80 snaps, and I'm saying 30 of them running, so that's,
50-30?
3/8.
Yeah, well, it's 50 passes to 30 runs.
Yeah, so I'm saying, it's hard.
Yeah,
65-35 be the high.
Yeah, I think there's too much.
Which is not a lot of throws to your wide receivers. You start splitting them up between six guys.
Yeah, well, that kind of goes back to this offense. It's a little more – it's hard for anyone in this offense except the quarterback to be in the National Player of the Year conversation just because of how many plays they're probably going to run. Let's see, a couple more texts. Someone said, if this will be a shootout like you say it will, then won't it come down to who can get the most stops? In that case, who has the better defense? That's the question. We don't know. Probably.
Well, there's so much we don't know.
Yeah.
What happens to the kicking? I mean, who's got a better kicker? What happens if you have a high-scoring game? A lot of times you have to settle for a field goal only because the offense misfires. You got 4th and 12 at the 10-yard line. You're not going to go for it. So, and you could say, well, Cessna, that's only a 32-yard kick. Well, Bertlett's had problems with between 30 and 40 yards. So you miss two field goals, and you're behind in a shootout. And I don't know how good the Arizona State guys, I've done enough research, but it could get down to if it is a shootout, it could get down to a missed field goal or a made field goal.
The more I look at this game, the more I feel like it's going to be sort of, and I can't think of a good game that maybe the South Carolina game last year is a little bit like it. It got out of hand there at the end, but where A&M gets a little bit ahead. They break serve, if you want to word it that way, with an interception or something like that. I think that could happen. And then it would be a shootout, but, A&M stays a couple breaks ahead. That's kind of
14 points.
Yeah, that's kind of how I think this thing could go. It could look like a shootout. It could be 48-30 or something.
They're early. A&M was up by 17, I think, and South Carolina scored and get 10. And you think, if South Carolina gets the ball back, that could be a three-point game, but then A&M go down and score. So it didn't matter. You go back from 10 to 17. You got a 17-point lead. You feel a little comfortable, even if you're on the ball.
That's kind of where I think this game is headed. I don't know why I think – I mean, I have no real knowledge of why I think that. Again, we haven't seen anything from A&M.
And I don't have it from you, but I remember that was the South Carolina game. Then they scored to go up 24, and it's over.
Yeah, the South Carolina game was like that. South Carolina would score just enough they had to leave the starters in.
That you're saying, they're going to come back in the second half.
Right, like this game is over, but it's not actually over. Something could go awry. A couple more texts. Someone said, I don't care if we run more. I just want to run better. Then someone said, memo to the A&M receivers, don't drop the dadgum ball, and you will get get more yards. That is, I think, the big key for Ricky Seals-Jones this year. I noticed that in the stats, too. He was the only A&M receiver that had at least 10 catches that averaged less than 10 yards of reception last year. I mean, he just basically got nothing after the catch.
He went well, a lot of times in the press box, we complained. It looked like he went down. He was scared of his body because of the injuries, and he wouldn't fight. As a big a target as he is, you feel once he catches the ball, he should fall forward 5 yards by the time they get him down.
Right. He needs to have that, not that he's this fast, but that Vince Young ability to somehow fall for 5 yards. Like, he would do that. He'd get hit and then gain 5 more yards.
Turn an 8-yarder into 13 yards. And it looks great. Oh, 13 yards.
Right. And then, like, someone said, this is the other game I was thinking of, too. Someone said, I think this could be like the Liberty Bowl, a shootout, but A&M controlled the second half. That's kind of where I think this thing is, too. And I don't know
You're
why.
Hoping.
I think part of it is I just don't get the love for Arizona State, I guess. I mean, I don't see – when I look talent for talent, comparing the guys on A&M's team to the guys on Arizona State's team, I just don't –
A&M's got more talented guys.
I just don't see it. That's kind of my thing.
It's cut and dry. A&M's got higher-profile assistants. A&M's got everything higher-profile because Todd Graham's trying to build the program up to where he can be compared to Stanford, where he can be compared to Oregon, but he's not there yet.
Yeah, and just the talent pool out there is not. I mean, frankly, A&M's got the three best players from Arizona the last few
years. Correct.
They play for the Aggies.
So why would you pick Arizona State?
So that's what it keeps going down to for me is not so much the schemes and what they've done lately. If you go on that, Arizona State's going to win this game.
Well, and I've laughed several times before on this deal. Arizona State's ranked 15th. A&M's on ranked. A&M's favorite.
Right. Like I said, I just look player for player, and A&M is better almost across the board. But
almost. You're right, without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean, DJ Foster's probably – you'd probably take him over Trey Carson if you consider him a running back, but even that's close.
But if you want to compare of why this team might win, you know, meaning Arizona State, that described the era that got Mike Sherman fired a little bit. A&M had every player better than Texas Tech did, but Texas Tech won because of their style and the way they play. Now, you'd think someone's prepared to beat a team like that. But if you're an Arizona State fan, I don't know why you'd be listening to us, but why they feel they have hope, that's because A&M has lost inferior teams before.
That's certainly true.
And I was laughing because I talked to a Georgia guy because he's the one guy who didn't get his pick in. We wanted the beat writer, so I called a beat writer, and he was funny. You know, they stayed their quarterback yesterday, and I asked him for his prediction, and he was talking about why Georgia should be good. And then he laughed. He goes, well, put on there because they're Georgia. They'll lose games they're not supposed to. But there's certain people that have that MO. And, you know, you look at Sumlin, he's not lost one non-conference game. He's not lost a game, you know, not lost a lot of games that people thought he should win. And people think he should beat Arizona State.
Someone said, stop talking about Berlet missing field goals. That was 2 years ago. Think of it in terms of a two-year improvement, kind of like your writing has improved in 2 years, right? That's Brad from Brian.
Brad, that's, you know, it hasn't. My writing
hasn't
improved.
Someone seems confident in Berlet.
I mean, I guess. Because I think that tells me that he is kicking. So, you know, it's a little bit like getting back to Floyd Raven. Why, you know, Floyd was the guy out there. Until Bartlett gets out and hits 3 out of 4 field goals beyond 40 yards, I'm going to have concern.
A&M doesn't win on field goals. That's not what they do.
I don't say they do. I'm just talking about Berlet.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong there. I'm just, to me, that it's, if A&M's kicking more than 2 field goals, they're probably, it's.
I didn't say one game. I meant over 5-6 games, because Lambeau, you could count on Lambeau going on and kick a 39-yarder.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm just not that worried about field goals in this game. That it will be important.
But you never know when you're going to be worried about that field goal.
It will be important down the road.
Ole Miss or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Bartlett's kicking 3 or 4 field goals that he has that A&M is in big trouble.
Right, yeah. Someone said 49-38 Ags. Arizona State is a decent kicking game. We don't, but it doesn't matter in this game. So I'm kind of like that person. Kicking won't matter in this one. And then this is a good text. I like this question. Someone said, if it's a shootout such as the West Virginia Bowl game last year, how will Chavis's D be perceived afterwards? What does the D need to do to create positive momentum moving forward, confidence, recruiting? It's from Corey in Austin. It depends on exactly how it's like the bowl game. I think fans are okay because of the offense that A&M has and the way that they play. I think fans are okay with A&M giving up yards. The thing that really frustrated people, I think, the last few years and really the last decade, frankly, but the last few years especially, is Snyder's defense just didn't take any chances. They would sit back and just willingly give up play after play after play after play, and then eventually the other team would score. They didn't jump after interceptions. They didn't, you know, try to go for, you know, anything. I think if the trade-off, you know, let's say that A&M's defense could be 40th in the country if they didn't take any risks. But by taking risks, they drop a little bit. They give up a few more big plays, but they get an extra turnover or two, you know, every game or so. I think fans would take that trade-off. I think that's the big thing, is they want to see some aggressiveness, and they want to see some turnovers. A&M has been terrible at getting turnovers.
That's what I was going to touch on, which ties into your taking chances. The way the game's played today with so many spreads, you're going to give up yards no matter who you are. I'm going to look at defenses. Number one, do you help your team win? And I didn't think the last 2 years of defense really helped the team win. If their team's getting 80 snaps, you got to be able to come up with a couple turnovers. You got to take some chances somewhere. You got to be able to strip the ball, jump in front of a receiver. You got to get some turnovers. So I'm really always going to look at turnover margins, and I'm going to look at third downs. Can you get off the field consistently when you need to? Nothing, I think, frustrates fans more than you see in third and 17. You're in a prevent, or you back up, or and if the opposition converts three third downs of double digits yards needed in a game, it just demoralizes. You're sitting there because you should get off the field when it's starting 11. And to see that sometimes guys wide open, or they run a draw play like no one ever thought they might run a draw play or a quick screen or something. The guy goes for 20 yards, and you want to sit there and go, are you kidding me? It happens once in a while. Or the old wheel play. Oh, there goes the wheel play. Touchdown. You know, if you do that three times in a game, and turnovers, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, someone said, I mean, the question that Corey had is, what does it need to do to create positive momentum? Make plays. I mean, that's the thing. You can give up a lot of yards. I mean, these days you can give up a lot of points as long as you make a few plays that change the game. A couple turnovers, a couple big stops. I mean, you're not going to shut out Arizona State, but make a couple plays that change the game, whether it's a sack, whether it's an interception, and just be aggressive, and I think you create some momentum there. No one expects A&M's defense to go out and hold Arizona State to 50 yards or anything like that, but if they can,
and don't wait to the end of the game like the Chick-fil-A Bowl or finally ask you and somebody else got an interception after they had
Tony
all these
Tony Hurd,
whereas you remember those two plays, but until then the defense wasn't even there. It was just Johnny Manziel and those other two quarterbacks from Duke. It was a video game until A&M's defense finally showed up on like the last two series, and finally, how did A&M win the game? Because of Askew and
Tony
Hurd.
Yeah. All right, we got to go to break. Some of y'all have already sent in some good texts. We'll get to those after the break related to the defense and the run game. So we'll come back. We'll do those. Keep them coming. 229-1939. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Get 13 grand total savings on F-150s, 250s, and 350s at College Station Ford Lincoln. 13 grand! You may have noticed all the hot pink plates driving around town. That means someone just saved thousands at College Station Ford Lincoln. And you can save 13 grand on 2015 F-150s, 250s, and 350s at College Station Ford Lincoln. And if that's not good enough, get 0% for 72 months on all new 2015 Fords, cars, trucks, and SUVs. Find out more at collegestationford.com. Huge truck sales this summer have earned us extra trucks from the factory, along with extra incentives. 13 grand total savings on F-150s, 250s, and 350s only at College Station Ford Lincoln. Plus, all F-150s come with a 5-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Take a free ride today with 0% for 72 months at College Station Ford Lincoln. collegestationford.com.
It's time for Tailgater Truths, presented by Dish. Truth number 29. Game day without HD is like a tailgate without bacon-wrapped bacon with a side of bacon. With the Tailgater from Dish, you get mobile satellite TV and quarterback sacking HD. It sets up in 15 quick minutes or less and automatically connects to a satellite signal. So the only games you're playing are the ones you want to. Plus, there's no long-term contracts. You can pay as you go. Or add the Tailgater to your Dish Home account for only $7 a month. So fire up the grill and the TV and start making tail greatness this season. Just be sure to use a napkin before touching that remote, Mr. Bacon Fingers. To learn more, visit dish.com/tailgate. Restrictions include prepayment of all monthly and one-time fees.
Fantasy football just got a whole lot more interesting. For the first time, DraftKings will crown two millionaires in one day. It's their biggest one-week fantasy football contest ever. $10 million in prizes are up for grabs, including $2 million for first place and $1 million for second. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Go to DraftKings.com and use promo code Louie to play free for your shot at $2 million in the Week 1 Millionaire Maker. That's Louie for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Your home for Houston Astros baseball. Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
I'm pushing an elephant up the stairs. I'm tossing up punchlines that were never there. Over my shoulder, a piano falls. Crash into the ground. I'm breaking through. I'm bending spoons. I'm keeping.
You're doing over there.
I don't either.
Making music with the media guy over on the other side.
This is what's about. The season's about to start. Time to get fired up.
Someone, we were taking y'all's texts before the break, and several of the texts have come in. Y'all keep texting us 229-1939. A few minutes here before we flip on over to the high school report. A little bit of breaking news on the high school report.
All right, stay tuned.
Yeah, coming in a few minutes. But a few different things. Someone said, do you think our defense will be solid enough that our offense can run the up-tempo that we want to run? It couldn't last year because the defense was so bad. I'm going to disagree here for a second. Part of why they couldn't run the up-tempo last year is the offense wasn't good enough. I mean, people have a little bit of revisionist history over the end of the season. There were a few weeks where, and I know that I've said I'm a Kyle Allen fan, but as coming in as a true freshman with what they had going on, and I know that Speedy Noel was a little bit hampered with it by injury. Apparently so was Josh Reynolds, had some injury problems.
The line didn't run up as
the
fast
line wasn't
as they
very
had
good. And his offense was not very good the last half of last season.
They weren't clicking the way you want an up. They weren't clicking the way Kevin Sumlin and Spavital want that offense to click.
Well, and the up-tempo only works if you get first downs. I mean, that's when you get the up-tempo.
If you make plays.
If you're going three and out, if you go up-tempo, you're just going three and out in a hurry. So it doesn't really make much difference. So I don't know how much the defense had to do with that part of it. I do think that the offense is going to be good enough. I think the defense is going to be good enough that the offense could be a little riskier. You know, I think I don't think they're going to have that pressure of, you know, we can't take any big risks here because we have to score. You know, I think the defense will be good enough to give the offense a little bit of leeway. Just not necessarily that you're going to go like, oh, hey, we can throw this out there and let a guy intercept it because we got the defense. But enough that you don't feel that pressure that every play has to be moving the positive direction. I mean, the offense, you know, you think, you know, if we lose a couple yards, we'll pick it up a couple downs later. And if not, you know, then such is life. I don't think there'll be that pressure this year because the defense is going to be better.
And that also leads to Kyle Allen looks down and he thinks he has single coverage. Don't spend the extra 2 seconds to see where the safety is. Go ahead and take the chance. Have faith in your arm and your receiver. And the worst that's going to happen is it might get tipped, it gets interception, but then you got the defense. I thought there were stretches in the last 2 years where everybody knew, oh my gosh, if they, you know, the players felt, turn the ball over here, we're giving up 6 points. The defense is just going to go right back. A little bit like you said, they felt they had to score, And so if you feel you have to score, sometimes you don't want to take that chance. You don't want to take the deep ball. But to be an up-tempo offense, to hit the home run, you got to take chances. You got to be able to take chances.
Someone said, what about third and Chavis?
There we go. That was an LSU. And a little bit like the one texter said, leave the Burlett 2 years behind. What Chavis did in LSU, some of that stayed in LSU. It's all new.
I looked up a little bit of this for our preseason magazine, and the thing is, they were disproportionately bad on third down at LSU, but it's because they were so good in everything else. I mean, they would be like second in the nation in total defense and then like 28th on third downs. I mean, they were still pretty good on third down.
And here's the deal also is that wasn't one of LSU's better defenses they had last year. I mean, they had some problems.
Well, I was looking year over year.
But I'm just saying, even last year, a lot of people say looking at last year and happy that he's gone. Well, there was a reason they were playing in the Music City Bowl.
Yeah, whatever game.
There's a reason that Chavis was on the phone. I mean, that LSU had some problems, and it'll be interesting to see how LSU – does that's a wake up call for them, losing Chavis. I hate to say it's for them. It's you want to play it all good. It's not always good.
Yeah, we'll see. Third and Chavis is a product of being aggressive, though, as part of the deal.
Yeah.
You know, if you get him in third and 15, you stay aggressive, and then because of that, you're going to give up big plays.
Yeah, here's the deal: if it comes out, let's say Chavis comes out with an all out blitz the first call, and you look up and there's a guy wide open, they throw a touchdown. He can't change who he is. I mean, that might be the only one. He might go ahead and sack the quarterback seven times in the rest of the game. He's not going to change who he is just because one play, because one guy didn't get the call. I mean, it might be like Brandon Williams. He goes, I thought we were in. You're going to still have breakdowns. And his bases is one-on-one. And if one guy doesn't get the deal, forget it.
And then finally, this is a good ender. Kind of like Chavis today, he likes his answer so good, he walked off. This is a good ending text that someone texted. Michael Martinez, last year's kicker from Navasota and last year's state scoring leader, is now enrolled at A&M. Good, accurate legs. Someone get him to walk on.
Wow.
So there you go. Good information out there. It's a good one to end on, C's. We're going to go to break. When we come back, time for the high school report. And it's only week one. Well, I guess now it's week two, but only had one round of games, and we already have some breaking news in the high school ranks. So not quite Illinois, but pretty close. Come back for that on the high school report. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. A 911 call to Texas A&M police yesterday that a man was threatening the life of his girlfriend turned out to be less serious. But before that was determined, officers drew their guns on the boyfriend. That's after he approached them in an aggressive manner and refused to take his hands out of his pocket. The altercation took place about 12:30 near Moses Residence Hall, where the woman, a campus employee of SSC, was being escorted to a secure location. The boyfriend, 28-year-old Zebulon Ransom of Bryan, was not arrested. UPD says no criminal charges are pending, but Ransom was issued a criminal trespass warning, banning him from all university property. If you are with an organization that is planning to bring in a large group of out-of-town guests when local hotels need your business, look into getting grant money administered by the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Whether it's a sports event or a conference that has 250 or more room nights, that is certainly something that we're interested in helping you with. Not only helping you by providing services, but it is an opportunity for you to apply and be granted some of these funds for your marketing efforts.
CVB President Shannon Overby says they also offer services during your event. Applying for hotel tax grants is done online at visitaggieland.com. Blinn College's Workforce Training Center in Brenham was the setting for announcing a federal grant of nearly $1.4 million. The U.S. Commerce Department says the grant will go towards a new building, nearly 13,000 square feet, offering customized technical training, which was previously identified as the region's top-ranking local challenge to growth. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
Zone headquarters in Houston for the Aggies and the Sun Devils will be at the Holiday Inn NRG Medical Center. Starting at 3 o'clock, Dusty and I'll get you ready for the new season with the Coors Light pregame show. Then, after the game, starting 30 minutes after the game, the party known as the post-game call-in show, both live from the lobby of the Holiday Inn NRG. If you're looking for a place to stay the night before or after the game, the Holiday Inn NRG is attached to the parking lot of the stadium. They've also just underwent a $12 million renovation. They've got a full-service bar, full-service restaurant. And if you're looking for a place to park for the game, they have a $30 parking special, which includes two drinks that you can enjoy while listening to the pregame show or take them to go as you walk to the stadium for kickoff 2015 versus Arizona State. The Zone headquarters, and it can be yours too, is the Holiday Inn NRG Medical Center.
Why choose Aggieland Fitness Dome? Because we have the equipment you can't find anywhere else. Each piece individually selected for performance. Dynamic group fitness classes, indoor boot camps, free childcare, and a full-size indoor basketball volleyball court. Join now and pay no dues until October. Mention this ad when you join, and you'll also receive 4 personal training sessions free. Get results your way at Aggieland Fitness Dome. Call 690-DOME or come see us on Highway 6 South and exit Barron Road.
Walking, running, jumping, stretching, pulling, pushing. Any repetitive motion can cause wear and damage to your body. Using advanced diagnostic equipment and computerized technologies, the orthopedic sports medicine physicians and therapists at Scott & White Healthcare can treat all of your sports injuries, no matter how complex. Don't get sidelined by injuries. Pursue your passion in top form. Visit sportsmedicine.sw.org for more information.
Information on the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150. Visit Zone1150.com now. Now it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Time for today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. We're joined over the phone by intrepid young Eagle reporter Larry Bowen. Larry, you've got a little bit of news for us.
Aubrey, been at this a while, and I don't recall writing a story like this. You know, maybe Cease did. He's been at it a little bit more than me. But Rex Sharp, the new head football coach and athletic director at Somerville High School, shocked school officials yesterday morning by resigning one game into his tenure there. He was hired over the summer as an assistant and then was promoted in July when the former head coach moved on to different duties in the school district. He had been the head coach and athletic director for 2 months in one game. They played Friday night, played a good Iola team and lost 48-7. And he called the superintendent up yesterday morning and said he was resigning. And it was, I guess, effective immediately. So Somerville's searching for a coach. Talked to the superintendent today. We have a story online now at BrazosSports.com, and we'll have some more details in tomorrow's paper. But they're in the market for a new coach. They have already targeted one. He's already talked to the kids. If he gets out of the contract at the school he's currently at, where he's an assistant, the superintendent told me the new coach could be working by tomorrow.
Wow. Well, there you go. Trying to make moves over there early in the season. It's a tough situation for everybody involved, really.
And they lost 30 games in a row there, and so obviously there's been a revolving door, and that's part of the problem. You got to get that stopped. And the new coach will come in. The guy that just quit, Rex Sharp, had a short amount of time, and the new guy's going to have even less.
That's, again, the new news out of there. Larry, why don't you go ahead and set us up for today's interview on the High School Report, recorded a little bit earlier.
Right. I did an interview yesterday, Aubrey, with K.J. Grimes, who's defensive lineman for College Station High School. Really enjoyed talking to K.J. We had a feature story in today's paper. And I think, without bragging too much, this interview that we're going to play might give you a little insight into to KJ and kind of into the process. A very bright kid, very articulate. He was a good choice to do a feature story about. So as I interviewed him to write the feature story, I did it, or tried to do it, in the form of a radio interview. We've got that thing recorded, and it's about 12 and a half minutes. It's a lot of fun. I joked with him a little bit. A very bright kid, and I think he's going to do big things for the Cougars this year.
All right, we will take a listen to that. I think we've got it queued up over there at the station. Larry, thanks for being with us.
Okay, Aubrey.
We're talking today with College Station defensive lineman K.J. Grimes, and K.J.'s a senior, just started his senior season, had a good first game. His name was one of the ones that came up when I asked the coaches about the performance in the 45-0 win over Rosenberg. Terry, K.J., first just tell us about that game. That team runs a Veer offense, something that not many people see. They gave you guys fits down there last time. Had to be pretty satisfying to the defense, especially to play so well and to win that game.
Yes, sir, especially since last year we kind of got off to a rough start with that team. I definitely felt like we were more prepared this year, and that we were able to play that different style of offense much more efficiently.
There's a lot of questions I want to ask you after talking to Coach Locklear. One of the most interesting things he told me that I didn't know about you was that you didn't even play football your freshman and sophomore years here. And actually, you were a freshman here at the high school the first year you guys opened, right?
No, sir.
No, you were...
I moved in from Nebraska.
Okay, you moved in from Nebraska. So when did you move in?
Well, I moved in the summer after freshman year before starting sophomore year.
Okay, so you didn't play. Had you played up there?
Yes, sir. I played a little bit in middle school, just the midget football league, but nothing as serious as up here in Texas.
What about that first year? You didn't play your sophomore year. Was that because of the late arrival, just getting started? Were you trying to get your feet on the ground? What was that?
I actually got into running cross country freshman and sophomore year, kind of following my mom's footsteps. She was a steeplechase runner in college.
Wow.
So I got into that. Being a 170-pound distance runner was a little interesting to see, but I enjoyed it, and then I kind of went through a rough spot, had some injuries over that winter of sophomore year, and then ended up talking to Coach Frazier and deciding to come out for spring football that sophomore season.
Well, Coach Locklear said you came out that spring, and then by last year as a junior, you're in the starting lineup. You made, I think, honorable mention all-district. You're in the starting lineup for a team that finished second in the district, was very successful, made the state playoffs. That's... That's a long way to go in a pretty big hurry. I mean, do you ever stop and think, like, you know, a year and a half ago or whatever it was, you weren't even a football player, and how fast that happened?
Yeah, it kind of all happened so fast that I didn't really realize it as I was going through it. But then I stopped and looked back and realized how big of a step I'd made from being 175-pound distance runner to being a 220-pound defensive lineman.
Were you surprised last year? I mean, the coaches said they were impressed by what you did in the spring of your sophomore year, so you had to at least have some kind of a feel, like you weren't completely in over your head. But to go out there and get a starting spot on a team where guys have been here way ahead of you and to be able to play, I don't know, when you showed up at whatever it was at the beginning of August or whatever last year for your junior year, could you have imagined that you'd have that much success? I don't know, maybe you're one of those guys who just has, you know, infinite confidence in themselves. Were you surprised by how well it went?
Well, yes, mostly. I felt confident in my ability as an athlete to be able to adapt to playing football, but I felt like I worked off the mindset that I needed to work hard every day, and then it kind of all just came together at once. So it wasn't as surprising as you may think, but looking back on it once I got there, I was impressed with what had happened.
Now, the interesting thing about this year, Coach Locklear told me that you moved inside, so now you're playing basically defensive tackle, where you had been playing defensive end last year and had a lot of success. There's a couple of things that occurred to me about that move. First of all, we tend to think of the guys on the outside, whether it's a linebacker or an end in a rush position, as guys that get more attention, make more big plays, and the guys inside kind of doing the dirty work. Now, can you talk about that? Coach Locklear said you were real willing and never hesitated about making the move, but here you were established at end, which is a pretty high-profile position on the defense, and now they're asking you to leave a spot where you'd been very successful and where you'd probably going to get your name in the paper a little more often than a defensive tackle, and you gladly made that move. Can you talk about that?
Yes, sir. Well, they approached me around mid-spring and asked me if I could move into the D-tackle position because we had kind of a shortage there, and I was in for it just because some people would think that it's satisfying definitely to have your name in the paper or hear it up on the announcement board, but when you're as close as we are as a team, I feel just as hyped up and just as excited about my outside linebacker Mark or Evan, the defensive end, making the tackle as it would if it was me. So,
the other thing about the move that occurs to me is, and you mentioned 220 pounds, so you've grown in the last year and a half, but that's still probably undersized for a defensive tackle at the 5A level. You'll line up across from some guys this year who will weigh 280 or even 300. I know talking to the Consol coaches last week, they have a guard and a center who both weigh 300, so you'll be in there with the big boys. And you're obviously not – who's the new guy for the Texans, Vince Woolfolk, that weighs about, what, 380 or whatever? You are not as big as a lot of the guys you're going to be competing against. How do you deal with that?
I feel confident in my speed, my first step speed, and my speed over a pass rush or going head-to-head with somebody who outweighs me by 50, 60, 70 pounds. So I always establish myself early in the game and come off and throw a hard hit. So I can have a presence on the inside even though I'm undersized for the position.
Is that kind of funny? Because probably when you were following your mom's steeplechase footprints, you probably felt like you were a pretty big guy at that point, and you've kind of gone to the other extreme where you're playing about as physical and as much as you can get as a meat grinder. And Coach Locklear talked about your athleticism and your speed and said you were able to overcome that. But that's a... You've got a role reversal there, don't you?
Yeah, it was kind of a flip from being the biggest guy out there where I stood out to kind of being an undersized guy on the interior defensive line. But I don't feel as small as I look, I don't think. So.
the other thing, too, is as I talked to you after practice on Monday afternoon, you were one of a group of about 8 or 10 players that stayed late after practice and were doing stretching / yoga type work with your trainer, Chelsea Frazier. Now, that's certainly something we don't associate with defensive tackles. I'd love to see that new nose guard for the Texans try a little bit of yoga, but can you tell me about that? Chelsea said she had a group that kind of had gotten into that a little bit in the summer, and what do you get out of it? They're not going to make you put a little tutu on or anything like that just because you're doing yoga.
Hopefully not, but we kind of realized that even especially on Saturday mornings and stuff like that yoga, so I'm coming in and doing yoga instead of an extra workout, was leading to faster recovery time and more sustainable season, which is what you want because you want to go as deep as you can week 13, 14, 15, 16. And if you're doing yoga early in the season, you're minimizing injuries later into the playoffs and things like that. So I think it's really important after practice as often as I can to get in and make sure I have mobility.
Do you feel better?
Yeah, I do. It's definitely helped with a lower back and legs and soreness.
You think it would be good for old sports riders or not?
If you can get in there, you can try your first shot at yoga pod.
A couple other things. When we do stories about local athletes, I always like to ask about things away from the football field, whether it be school, just home stuff, church, whatever it might be. Now, you mentioned running, so you obviously had that in your background. When you guys get to this level, it's pretty focused. Are you doing any other sports now, or is it this just it?
This is the focus. Sometimes I'll get out and do a little bit of discus work because I do track in the spring, so I'll get out and throw a little bit on the weekend, but that's about it.
Tell my listeners and my readers, since we're working on a feature story, but tell us about KJ Grimes. I mean, I'm here to do your life story in 15 minutes and haven't ever met you, bless your heart, but away from football, what kind of interest do you have? I have a standard line that I use that when I ask players, you know, I say sometimes they might be a champion bull rider, or sometimes they might, you know, be the lead singer in a rock band, or they might work with an after-school daycare program with kids or something. But I think our listeners and our readers like to know about the young men. Now, clearly the coaches picked you because you are a good player, but also well-spoken. You're at ease with this, and it's not easy sometimes. So you're obviously a smart kid. But what else? I mean, I know football takes up a lot of your life, but tell us about KJ Grimes when he's not doing this.
Well, I really enjoy a good book. Just like most people would, just getting into something, no matter what it is, and reading, and really strong in faith. I love going in and volunteering on Sunday morning and going to church and all that stuff. It just kind of puts my heart in the right place for the week.
What are you reading now? Is there anything good? Do you have anything that you're reading good or that you've read lately that you would recommend?
I'm working through the book Texas, the novel. Because I felt like moving to Texas, it was appropriate to start into it.
Of course, and you mean other than all the high school football stories in the Eagle and on BrassaSports.com. The last thing is, tell us about future plans. Now, you're one of the better players on this team, obviously. You had a really strong junior year, even though you're kind of late to the party a little bit. And with Coach talking about your athleticism, you might, I don't know, you might be able to play at the next level, but size and speed and all those things become a limiting factor as you go forward, and so you're never really sure. Now, maybe that's your hope, but tell us what you would like to do. I don't know, maybe you want to be president, maybe you're going to solve some dread disease, or maybe you're going to, you know, be an NFL defensive end at 260 pounds. I don't know. What would you like to do in the future?
Thinking about it, NFL as a defensive end definitely sounds satisfying. Kind of shorter term, Texas A&M is where I really want to be, and hopefully walk onto the football team and track team there. That's really my goal right now. And then major in international business or something like that.
So clearly way too smart to be talking to a sports writer.
I don't know about that.
Well, thanks for making the time for us, and we wish you and the Cougars the best of fortune as you guys go forward. Good luck Friday against Waco and the rest of the season.
Thank you.
There you go. That was today's High School Report brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll go to break, come back, and wrap up with the news. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Hello, it's Toyota's annual clearance event. This is Jan.
Hi, Jan. Hey, what's going on down there anyway?
Excuse me?
I'm the traffic chopper guy, and I noticed a lot of people headed your way. What's the deal?
There's a huge deal, actually.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Well, you can get 0% APR financing on a bunch of Toyotas. The bold Camry, the versatile RAV4, oh, the fuel-sipping Prius.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
Oh, it is. Our clearance event only happens once a year.
You know, I don't see a helipad on your roof.
Oh, that's because we don't have one.
Ah, that's okay. I'll find a spot. See you soon.
Woohoo! Toyota's annual clearance event is on now, but this event ends September 8th. Now, during Toyota's annual clearance event, get 0% APR financing for 60 months plus $1,500 special edition cash on a 2015 Tundra Crew Max Special Edition for a total savings over $6,100. Visit gstoffice.com for details. Offers available in select states and N9850. Toyota, let's go places.
Walking, running, jumping, stretching, pulling, pushing. Any repetitive motion can cause wear and damage to your body. Using advanced diagnostic equipment and computerized technologies, the orthopedic sports medicine physicians and therapists at Scott & White Healthcare can treat all of your sports injuries, no matter how complex. Don't get sidelined by injuries. Pursue your passion in top form. Visit sportsmedicine.sw.org for more information.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Team Auto in Navasota, Zwarneman Flooring, and the Sleep Station.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Fantasy football just got a whole lot more interesting. For the first time, DraftKings will crown two millionaires in one day. It's their biggest one-week fantasy football contest ever. $10 million in prizes are up for grabs, including $2 million for first place and $1 million for second. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Go to DraftKings.com and use promo code Louie to play free for your shot at $2 million in the Week 1 Millionaire Maker. That's Louie for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Ozarka is saving you money at the ballpark with Ozarka Online Ticket Tuesdays. Use the discount code Ozarka at TexasRangers.com/specials and receive 50% off tickets to most Tuesday home games. Half-price seats are available in four different sections for Ozarka Online Ticket Tuesdays. Offer available only on the World Wide Web. Punch up your browser now and purchase your tickets at TexasRangers.com/specials.
Hello.
For more information on the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150, visit Zone1150.com now.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle. Wrapping up the show, I went out and wrangled someone from the newsroom. It was going to be several different people, but Darren, you were the lucky or unlucky draw to come in here.
Definitely lucky. Sometimes we even fight over it.
Yeah, tell us what's going on out there.
We all want to come on the radio show and spend a few minutes harassing you. What's in the newspaper tomorrow? Well, we'll tell you a couple of things we already have online. The radioactive package that was missing at Texas A&M has been found.
Located.
So the package itself wasn't actually radioactive. I don't think they can just send a radioactive package through FedEx. But there was a package that contained radioactive material that had been missing at Texas A&M. It was reported missing on Friday, and an internal memo at Texas A&M sought assistance in finding it. They found it today. So that's good news.
Was this like
it's actually in a storage.
1939 Sugar Bowl trophy lost? Or was this like it's on the run and we got to go get it lost?
I think it was a FedEx. There was a FedEx shipment. Their records showed that it had been signed for on August 21st. But the Texas A&M Radiation Safety Office, which is, I guess, where they have to look at it first before it goes anywhere else, they're saying they never got a record of receiving it, but somebody got it because they found it in a storage place. It was unopened. It was in original condition. You know, nobody had.
I have a lot of questions here. You can just FedEx radioactive stuff.
like I said, it was radioactive material, but I think the packaging probably protected it from.
Right.
I mean, the package wasn't radioactive.
No, presumably we're not putting FedEx deliverers at risk here, right. But right. I didn't know you could just. So, like, my Tottenham jersey could be in a truck with I don't know, whatever radioactive
maybe.
Things? I don't like that.
We'll find out how exactly they have to package. But I'm sure they packaged it safely for transport and gave it to the FedEx guy and told him it was...
Well, I hope the FedEx people know that.
Yes. But anyway, it's been found. It was a, you know, crisis has been averted on the A&M campus. They found the package.
Good.
It's all fine. Somebody just put it down in the wrong spot, apparently. We'll also tell you lots of other good things that we'll tell you about. Remember that time when we were in a drought for like 5 years and then
yeah.
It rained a whole bunch and we're out of the drought?
Yeah, but we're back.
We're back. That's
yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah.
We're back in the drought. See, you're stealing the thunder here. We are back in the drought.
I read the news. Hey, well, Kelly gets mad if I don't know the news and then you get mad at me for knowing the
today
news.
Today is the first day of the new drought.
All right.
But we're looking for a strong El Nino over the weather pattern over the winter, so we hope to be back out of the drought. Before long.
So new drought can be fleeting. Enjoy it while you've got it. New drought. Although it rained today. So
briefly in random areas.
Yeah. So, all right. New drought, not as good as the old drought, but we'll find out. It's only day one. New drought's got a lot of time to improve. It's early in the season. The drought's got to get in mid-drought form. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow. Sam Kahn's going to join us. We'll get you set for the weekend.